I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters. About however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jake. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, the CCA Star Tournament, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather. Down on the island in Galveston, it's 68 this morning, and looks like cloudy and windy with rain this morning. And later in the day, it'll become partly cloudy. Thunder is possible with a high near 70. Winds will be north-northeast, 20 to 30 miles per hour. And that rain chance is right at 100%. Can't get more than that. Mostly light rain. There's a few little thunder bumpers in the area, but most of it's light. Tonight, some clouds, a low of 61. North-northeast winds will be 15 to 25. And then for tomorrow, sunshine and clouds mixed with a high of 68. East-northeast winds, 10 to 20. So it's... these fronts just keep hanging on, which is good. It's going to cool things off. Be a pretty nice week starting out. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We have a high current right now at 4:02 a.m. It's a 1.3, then a low at 10:09 a.m., an 0.8, and a high at 3:31 p.m., a 1.2. And then a low tonight at 9:59 p.m., an 0.5. 6:46 a.m. is sunrise, 7:50 p.m. sunset, and the moon phase is 90%. Our first full moon will be Wednesday this week. All right, looking at current conditions right now, the Galveston Channel, it's 69 degrees down there with 76-degree water, east-northeast winds at 7 to 13, and at Eagle Point, it's 69 degrees with 76-degree water, east winds at 15 to 17, and at Morgan's Point, it's 64 degrees with 75-degree water, east-southeast winds 13 to 17. Barometric pressure steady at right at about 30 inches at all stations. So not too bad a morning, except for the rain coming through. And we'll clear it on out and start a new week with new weather. How about that? All right, well, let's head over to the Tri-Bay area this morning, check in on the Hammer and see if he's getting hammered. Hammer, what's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you, buddy?
I couldn't be better. How are you?
Well, we're getting a little sprinkle going on this morning, but we are windy. Lord have mercy. I bet
wind
we had
kicking
dust
in.
Oh man, it did a couple hours ago. We've got 20-mile-an-hour gust right now, so showing yeah. 10 throughout the east. But they bit yesterday right before the front. We had a pretty good day.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. Got to get out an early rise. Thank goodness we got out there early because about as fast as it started, it stopped. It's one of those days the tide was weak in the mornings when we got out there. But no, I had a family of four, had a grandpa and his son, Stephen, and Stephen's wife, Lisa, and their son, James, and he was a 10-year-old. And there was smiles all around Captain Mickey. When the little guy was catching fish, they all were. I made every single cast for all four of them all day. And I put it right on the back of those fish, man. They, as soon as the cork would hit, it would keep going. They,
cool.
They, yeah, didn't get no real heavy fish, but they had 9 trout to 18 inches, and a couple of them, I mean, all of the fish were just healthy as could be. All of them had eggs in them. Not, I mean, the eggs were in the maturing stage, you know, not completely matured, but anyway, they were all fat and healthy. We had a 9 trout. We had a 22-inch red. They had a 17-inch black drum. They had a gap top, and they had a keeper whiting, a nice bull whiting. First one of those we've got this year.
Yeah, they've been pretty hot in the surf the last three or four weeks. People have been catching a lot of whiting.
It's a good little bit. That's a wonderful little bit.
That's pretty good eating right there, huh?
Yes, sir. And anyway, we had plenty of action, buddy. Everywhere we went, we made every stop all in one bay and on little tow heads and stuff. And each stop we would get something. So, you know, I'm like, I ain't going to sit on something forever. You know what I mean? In 15, 20 minutes, look, we ain't got a fish in the box. We're gone. We're going to go try another spot and another spot, and then we'll come back to this spot. But in just kind of moving around and keeping their interest in it, you don't let them get bored. There was no chance for them to get bored yesterday. We started fishing around 7:30, and we got off the water at 12 o'clock, and we were all ready to go. They didn't caught plenty of fish. And anyway, got it done. Captain Mickey, and outgoing tide was trickling out when we got out there, and we caught everything on. Everything was on popping cork and live shrimp. It was tide was just trickling out. It seemed like it trickled out forever. I never did see it. By the time we left, I think it was kind of dead tide right around noon. But a lot of boat traffic in our area. We had that a local tournament, so that brought a lot of people out yesterday. I didn't talk to any other people. Oh yeah, I did too. My next door neighbor, Captain Brandon, he went out. He had a party of four. They had a mixed bag also. It was they had 6 trout, had 2 drum, a couple of gap top, a flounder. So and then lots of fun. So his crew had a good time too, and they caught a little bit of everything. So
yeah, this water warming up and getting in the 70s, you stay in there, you're gonna see a lot of that mixed bag stuff.
No, heck yeah, yes sir, that's what we've been waiting for. And you know, that whole day out there, and I never even looked at my temperature. I didn't have time. I had to ask him when he came in, what was the water temperature? He said 75.
Yeah, 75 to 77 seems to be kind of across the board right now.
That's what it is. Well, it's getting on up there, buddy. Hey, I'm not complaining at all. Shoot, we had plenty.
We'll get a little cool down with this front. We're going to have about 2 or 3 cool nights. Nothing cold, but, you know, nice and cool with warm afternoons. So,
yes,
pretty
sir.
Nice weather, if you ask me. I like it. I like that.
Yeah, I got a telephone call late yesterday afternoon. It was a father, and he had 3 15-year-olds, and he wanted me to take them out this afternoon, and I just threw up a big old question mark. I said, man, we're going to have to see.
Yeah, you're going to have some northeast winds pretty hard today, what they're calling for after this
clears
out. You know,
yesterday, you could tell yesterday something was fixing to go on because those fish were biting good. And I hope everybody did good in the tournament. But it was a classic pre-front bite. I mean, it was like I said, everywhere we stopped, we had something, whether it was an undersized fish or whatever. But,
sure.
We didn't catch any undersized throwback trout. Every trout we caught was a keeper. And that's very unusual, too. Yes, sir. No, it's just a shoot. Yeah, and like I said, they all had shoulders on them. No matter.
Well, it'd been nice if you'd have been catching the oversized throwbacks.
Yeah.
You know, 20 plus inches, catch a bunch of them. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, yes, it would. Yes, it would to walk into a big old load of fish like that.
Oh, yeah.
The bait camps, the shrimp are giant, man. I mean,
are they?
They're real big, but you know what? Those fish didn't care. Those little old trout still swallowed those shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You know, people go in there and they get very discouraged. They look in that tank and they see those big old hoppers, and they just turn around. Oh, man, those are way too big to use. Oh, well, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. Because I put them under the cork. They're hard to cast, so they catch a lot of air. They catch a lot of wind when you're casting. But anyway, we had a great time. Both boats did good. And anyway, the bait camps are all up and open, and the boat ramps are open. Everything's looking good. We're just hoping this weather will settle down again. See how many days this north wind. I think it's just supposed to blow through today and then switch tomorrow out of the east. And then,
yeah, it's going to swing east. Now, with these popping cork rigs, how do you rig? What kind of popping cork rig do you use? Do you use one that you can change the depths with, or do you have some?
That's exactly right. Yes, sir. Those,
where you got a stick in the cork and you can slide it up or slide it down to change your depth?
Heck no. It's a little bit more advanced than that. No, they got.
Well, what's wrong with that technique where you can change it, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. These corks, you make your own leader, depending on the depth you're fishing. You know, whichever bay you're in, adjust accordingly. Just cut you a piece of 20-pound mono, and I tie about a foot and a half, 2 foot underneath that cork. I put a little bitty split shot about 6 inches away from a tiny number six treble hook. That's it. That's all the hardware on that. I try not to weight that shrimp down, let him do his own thing. You know what I mean? I'll just put that BB shot right up above it, just enough to keep him at bay. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I see. That might make it that. Well, with those bigger shrimp, that's why it's a little more difficult to cast, because you don't have that long swivel weight under the cork.
Yeah, it's got a.
Well, I'm old school. That's the way we did it way back in the day when we threw shrimp in Trinity. Because when we were fishing there, you're fishing anywhere from 2 feet of water to 10 feet of water.
And a lot of times
we had to use slip cork, especially fishing the well pads.
Oh, yeah. I remember the old slip corks. But these are, I've been with them for years and years and years, Midcoast products. And they make a very durable cork. And if anything's wrong with them, they fade a little bit and they get a little scratched up on the paint. But anyway, it's a good little rig, man. Look, just rattle, rock, and roll it. And I tell them, if you want to get your money's worth out of that popping cork, you got to pop it. Because they just sit there and look at it. Well, how often should I pop it? I said, whenever you get bored, but don't let it just sit there. You got to
pop it
and
keep slack out of it. A lot of times, if you're not watching the cork and it goes down, you'll feel it, and then you set the hook and won't miss it.
That's right. But yesterday with those big old corks, they just have to be yanking it. They don't give that fish time enough to get that big old shrimp down. You know what I mean? They done pulled. They brought back a half a shrimp about 50 times yesterday. I mean, I just said, give it another count. Well, you said count to three. I said, well, count to five then. So just give it another second.
Just let that cork go down and go all the way out of sight.
Oh, yeah. But that's fun fishing. It gives them something to watch.
Yeah.
And then I let the little 10-year-old drive the boat. You know, well, Pawpaw sit next to me on the seat, and we put him up between us and let him drive back to the boat ramp. You know what I mean? Just had he had a smile ear to ear. And that makes my day, just knowing that little boogaroo had a good time. So,
right.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Paying it forward, sharing it, and made a few bucks and had a good day and slept good last night. Earned
it. Well, that's good.
Just going to rest up today with this old northeast wind blowing right now.
I got you. All right, Glenn. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing, give them a number, man.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate you, Captain Mickey. 713-208-0683. Man, I hope y'all have a great week, buddy.
We're going to do it. You do the same. Catch them up.
Thank you. Thank you,
see
buddy.
You. Thanks, Glenn. Later. All right. Well, you know, the Belleville Meat Market, they're located right in downtown Belleville. They're easy to find. They're a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. And go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. And check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and their smoked sausage samples. They have those available in the store daily. You can check them out. You can actually try some sausage before you buy it, see what blend you like. And their ground beef special, that's always going on. It's $3.59 a pound when you buy a 10-pound bulk pack. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf processed, they're available also for pre-order. And their wild game processing, they're open year-round. So if you're killing wild pigs or exotic animals this time of year, you can have homemade hot dogs or whatever you like processed out of it. And you can bring something home from your hunt the entire family can enjoy all year long. And the Belleville celebrating 42 years, over 42 years, serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 418 here in the Bayou City. Let's hop down to Freeport now and check in with the guys. Jeff Naylor, I think Monty ought to be around. Somebody's there. What's up, guys? Good morning.
What's up, Captain Mickey? How you doing this morning?
Oh, just nursing another Astros hangover, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
Same old song and dance.
Oh, you know what? And something that blew me away, I was, you know, watched Altuve get out, and then I sat there and, you know, commercial came on, looked back, he's on second base. I'm thinking, what just happened?
Well, we won the 10th inning. You know, he made the last out of the ninth, and he gets second base to start off the inning. I don't like that new rule anyway. Never did.
I didn't realize that until just
When they go in extra innings, the guy that made the last out in the previous inning, he gets to start off running on second base as a base runner. They're trying to speed the game up, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a give me if you got anybody on your team that can hit the baseball when they need to. They can hit it when they don't need to, but they can't when they need to.
Boy, I tell you what.
But I'd have sent him home on that foul ball, you know, fly out. I'd have seen him too. It took a running catch to catch it, and then, hey, he's got to make a perfect throw after he catches the ball.
Yeah. No, the odds were in his favor for sure. That was
And the way your team's hitting with runners in scoring position, you got to go for it because they're probably not going to hit anyway and bring you home. So.
Man, that was a tough one. We've had some that are super close here, and.
Well, I mean, the bullpen's just the back end of the bullpen's not doing their job. I mean, it's just they're in a bad way right now.
Absolutely, I've
Montero
noticed.
Montero come in and shut them down. Abreu got in a little trouble, but he settled in and knocked them out. And you know, that's what Presley and Hader's got to do. It's just not happening yet.
Yeah,
a little bit.
You think they'll be all right, Monty?
Games here, don't they?
Huh?
So they play about 280 games a year, don't they?
Oh, yeah, at least, 260-something. Yeah, Bray.
162 games a year. It's going to be a long season.
It is going to be a long season.
If we don't start winning.
You know, we went to the opening game, and I guarantee you there's more Yankees fans in that building than there was Astros.
Really?
Which I good that. I say that's probably a long shot. I'm probably exaggerating that. But I tell you what, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of booing whenever, you know, they were scoring. I guarantee you that. It was kind of both sides.
Huh.
But, yeah, man, we're down here in the old river in Freeport, you know, watching this rain come and soak my waters back here in the back. which, you know, last night, I was just telling Monty last night, man, the sand trout, you ought to just see the amount of bait in these lights right now. It's unbelievable. And I went down there with a little crappie jig last night and was plugging around. And those sand trout, man, I mean, you cast out, and as soon as that lure just splashes the water, boom, they just were on it. It was, it was a lot of fun. I hadn't been over there, not too fond of sand trout per se.
Yeah. Well, at least they're showing up. We hadn't been seeing a lot of them. You know, we were talking about that the other day with Charlie and Matagorda. They hadn't showed up yet. And over here, I'm not hearing a lot, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the weirdest thing, too, is they're big specks. There's big specks in the middle of the lights. But they're
probably
so
eating them sand trout.
Yeah, they are. They're eating those sand trout and everything else. And, shoot, they don't want your lure. I mean, you sit there and look at it. You put one right in front of his face and watch him kind of follow for a second. They don't even try.
Yeah, usually if you can see them, you can't catch them. When they disappear is when you can catch them.
Yeah, which is quite ironic because, you know, the last couple of weeks I've been sending, you know, some of my friends that, you know, asking me where the fish are. I've been sending them over here. I'm like, man, look, at nighttime, they're just piled in here. I mean, in first thing in the morning, they'll be busting right along the rocks. I mean, just blowing up. You think it's big
where
alligator.
Where you at in the old Brazos?
In the old Brazos, yeah.
Yeah.
Up here, I live right across the water from Belly's Restaurant, which is
about 150 yards from the old Captain Elliott's party boat stop.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually bought the property from Elliott.
Yeah.
Elliott and Casey and them. So.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I sent a good friend of mine, Russell Owens, yesterday, and he went up the river here and. He went up and down it, didn't catch a single fish all morning long yesterday. Surprised the heck out of me. I don't know what the deal is. I know the Brazos is real muddy right now. The redfish scattered a couple weeks ago. They had a real hard rain and or got a bunch of fresh water in here, and the redfish scattered. Apparently, nobody could find them. I know there was a tournament yesterday at Cap Marks.
Mm-hmm.
At
Bastrop Marina?
Yeah, Bastrop Marina benefit type tournament. I don't know how they did, but I don't know, man. It's just a weird springtime event. You know, you can't really figure out where they're at, I guess. At least I can't. So,
gotta go offshore, chase the big ones.
That's it. I saw they did catch another bluefin, too.
Did they? I didn't hear about it. I didn't see it.
Fisherman's Wharf down in Corpus Port A.
Port A, yeah.
They caught another bluefin on one of those big 36-hour, 60-hour, whatever it is, trips. I mean, they put some hurting on some tuna, too. Holy cow, man.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody's trying to catch them.
Yeah. You know what I'm not seeing a whole lot of, though, is a grouper. You know, last couple of years, if you look back on their pictures, I mean, they're lots and lots of grouper, but they only, you know, may have a handful, you know, each trip, which is very surprising, honestly.
Yeah, I wonder what's up with that.
You know, I mean, you know, a party boat, it don't take much to kill a spot, you know, a grouper, and they're not real thick already, so.
Right.
You know.
Not like they used to be.
Not like they used to be, that's right. You know,
too many Monty's out there.
Yeah.
hitting that 288 north pattern, man.
But they did open up amberjack season, which that's a big positive.
Yeah, it is. I saw a lot of feedback on that. A lot of people excited about it.
You know, man, as a charter guy, especially, you know, most of my bills are due. You know, starting at the end of March, April, May, you know, insurance, all the stuff get hits all the time.
Oh, yeah. All so the good stuff, huh?
Yeah. And so, and then taxes are due in the middle of June 15th. So, you know, it's always nice to get that May season because you can get 4 or 5 trips in there and pay all them bills. A lot of times,
right.
I don't have deep into your savings or something like that. And they announced it last year as being guaranteed no amberjack season. So we kind of made plans not to have that. And all of a sudden now here we are. So which is kind of typical.
Well, that's a positive, though. That's a plus. If you can get the weather so you can go do your thing, that'd be real nice.
That's the second part of it.
The Elvis snapper season in Louisiana already?
No, federal season. Now, so there, that's a misconception. So it doesn't matter what for hire boats is across the board. The NOAA regulates that. So they set a date, and that's the way all states have to be for hire people. Now, recreational, the states can set their own date, stuff like that. So,
well, the snapper I'm seeing out of Louisiana right now are state water snapper.
Well, I mean, not to say that they didn't open it. I don't know that to be fact. I would doubt it, but, you know, who am I to say? I mean, honestly, Louisiana guys, you know, hey.
I just seen a couple of pictures of a lot of snappers in the last couple of days. I guess yesterday I opened the day before.
Did it really?
I mean, I don't know. That's what it said.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was only state water.
You know?
I don't know.
I know June 1st, early June, I'd still catch them with eggs in their belly. You know, some of them are, you know, it's not until probably mid-June, late June that I actually, you know, they're mostly released. But early June, you still catch several that have their eggs in them.
It'll be all over your boat.
I literally try to throw them back, you know, if I know they're big, big sows, you know, I'll throw a couple of them back if I can. But I don't know, man. I mean, reef donkeys, this is great. I mean, in May season, too, is normally great because, I mean, they hadn't been touched.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's been out there beating them up, so normally they're hungry, they're ready to eat.
Yeah.
You pull up and go to town.
And sure, too.
What's the biggest amberjack you ever caught, Monty?
Probably 100 pounds.
100 pounds?
Boy, I'd hate to reel that in. Golly. Yeah,
on the party boats, I think we bring in some 109s and stuff like that.
109. Yeah. Where were y'all trucking? Way out toward the intersection or something?
You know, the biggest couple I think I've caught, off Tequila. Which is
you love that rig, man.
Hey, and it was a fishing fiesta trip, so it was good.
Really?
Casey was on the boat.
No.
And a guy was over live baiting for marlin, and the amberjacks were eating him up. And he called me and said, "Hey, come over here." And Casey's like, "You know how them radio fish are."
Radio said, fish. Chasing a radio report. Yep. Radio fish.
Over there, you know, we went over there and spanked a couple big ones.
Did you? Wow. Yeah,
we caught some big ones. Also, one of them fishing the Geyer Banks.
Oh.
Sent a guy home on a helicopter.
Oh, because he got hurt?
No, he was just worn out, stressed out. We thought he was going to die.
And really?
He caught two of them back to back, over 100. Get him out of here.
Caught 200 pounds of amberjack, two of them. He's vapor locking on me. Come get him. Oh, boy.
Doors and beat the helicopter, and they sucked him right off.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many times did that happen in all the years you were doing it?
I dropped one guy off at the Coast Guard station because he hurt his back growing on fish. He said, "Oh, my back's hurt." He was drunk.
Yeah.
Dropped him off at the Coast Guard. Get him out of here.
Wow.
Another alcohol-related incident.
Yeah. But anyway, and then with Captain Robbie, I think we had to use duct tape on a guy or two, you know.
What? Because they got drunk?
Belligerent.
Belligerent.
And we don't got cussed, so we just used duct tape. One-shot drinking. We're going to stop.
You actually duct taped the guy up and had him arrested?
Well, I don't know for sure if they arrested him or not, but we had to drop him off at the Coast Guard station on the way in.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't have to cuss, and you are the law on the boat.
You are, yep. You're judge and jury.
That's it. That's crazy.
Your other customers, you know, I get it. You know?
Yeah, that guy that we flew in from the Geyer Banks, he was doing the fishing fiesta, and he was waiting at the scale when we got to the dock. His fish.
Did he weigh him in for the tournament? Yeah. Man, that was probably, you know, back in the day, I'm sure everybody entered the fishing fiesta when they went out there.
It used to be a lot bigger than it is now. They're still pretty, I mean, they get a lot of anglers in there.
Yeah.
All there the was, fishing was, fiesta.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year was their 75th anniversary or 75th tournament. Yeah. So this has got to be 76 or 77. That's a long run tournament.
Yeah,
it is. You know?
It wasn't near as big, but it's still a lot of fishermen get in.
I mean, in the late 90s, I think, at least I recall, in the late 90s, early 2000s, I have seen several of the kingfish bigger at the fishing fiesta than they were on the star tournament.
Yeah.
And really? That goes, I mean, it was a huge deal around here for years, you know. I mean, they gave away boats and all this, you know, it was a big deal.
Yeah. They still give out some decent prizes, I guess. We won it one time.
Y'all got pulled for...
Yeah, it was about, I think it was 8,000 a week. Won it for offshore.
Nice.
Yeah, a guy sent me 4,000 to the mail. I'll take it. Thank you. Good tip.
Yeah, man, I guess we're going to gear up and get ready to go kill some amberjacks. We went out, about 2 weeks ago and caught several amberjacks. They're there. They're waiting.
Yeah.
Not any real big ones, but, you know, decent ones. Yeah. They're definitely there. There's no question about that. I went on a hunt for some more wahoo and kind of went broke on that one. Tried Tony's and, you know, some of those 160-foot rocks, which I'm sure they're on right now, but, yeah, they weren't there when we were there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't hungry anyways. But how's fishing up your way been going, Mickey?
It's good. You know, it's depending on what you compare it to, but, I mean, for nowadays, yeah, it's decent. We had the other day it was supposed to be windy, but it turned out calm, and I think everybody caught them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I mean, you only need 3 trout to catch anything, you know, to judge it by, so that's makes it pretty easy.
Well, that's good. I mean, I've been told that the trout are tough to find, too, right now, too, so.
They are. Yeah. They're just in certain areas, and there's a lot of dead areas that there's not any trout that there should be. But if you're in the right area, there's plenty to catch. And just fair size, nothing to write home about, but good keeper fish. Of course, you know, the bigger ones you can't keep anymore anyway, over 20 inches. All that's got to go back. That's like bycatch. But anyway, let me knock this commercial break out. I'll come right back at you guys. Hang on a second. Well, the CCA Star Tournament, that's coming up. That'll begin Memorial Day weekend. It'll run all the way through Labor Day weekend, and it's the 35th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament. It's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And take advantage of their early bird specials when you sign up early. A lot of great prizes and drawings for that. And if you sign up, you can take advantage of over $1 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions, and all the tagged redfish that'll be released in Texas waters along the coast. It gives you plenty of opportunity to catch some great prizes that way and other species to fish for, like gaff top, drum, and sheephead. And you can offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. So go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the Star Tournament's brought to you by other great sponsors like Whataburger, Showwater Boats, Mustang Cat, Dargle Boats, Transport Boats, Haney Boats, Chris's Marine, and McLean Trailers, just to name a few. Again, go to startournament.org or call 713-626-4222 and get signed up today.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know what makes me feel good.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:40 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back and talk to the boys in Freeport some more. All right, guys, we are back.
What's up, Cap Miggy?
Oh man, just going through the motions this morning. It's
I know that.
We got a little rain down here.
Yep. A little bit of rain. You know, Casey was gonna make it this morning. He's been down in South Texas turkey hunting all week. Of course, he's got a way cooler life than I do, which is understandable, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, he's down at turkey hunting. He swears he's gonna give me a report. I called him last night, but he was apparently must have been hunting at about 8 o'clock at night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, spring turkey hunt's pretty cool. I like it. I went once. It was nice. I loved it.
Man, he's in Beeville. That's where he's at. He's in Beeville. And he said, man, the turkey hunt over there, dynamite. And, you know, at Carrizo, they end up killing two, he said, and early on, I guess.
Yeah.
And but he said that the turkeys weren't really thick down there at Carrizo.
Right.
Beeville, it's like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. So.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're having a lot of fun down there. I actually drove last week. I had to go to a plant down in Victoria, and on my way back, I can't even remember. I think it was one of the county roads I kind of took on the way back home. And, man, there was turkeys up and down that highway. I mean, mostly hens. I didn't see any jakes. Yeah. But
hens, jakes.
Yeah.
No gobblers.
Yeah.
No gobblers.
I haven't been turkey hunting in years. I mean,
I've only went once, and that was pretty exciting. I love hitting that box, and you can hear them way away, gobble back.
Yeah.
Hit again, they're a little closer. Hit again, they're coming in.
Did y'all do much turkey hunting down in Carrizo?
They did quite a bit. I've only went that one time during the spring hunt. I loved it. They come in and I had decoys set up. They beat them decoys to death.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Squirrel and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I didn't shoot one, but sitting out there with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Wow. They archery hunted them?
Well, I was.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, okay. She brought them up. Shotgun, maybe. I'm not doing it the first time. I ain't never killed nothing with a bow, but figured I'd try it out.
Yeah.
I should have. I missed. I got a good shot and missed.
Yeah.
You missed?
Yeah, and clipped your toenails. I got a little excited, I guess.
Yeah, that's my luck. You know, I'll trim his beard down a little bit.
I still ain't never killed nothing with a bow. I actually sold my bow last year, but oh well, I'm pretty sharp with a 30-06.
Yeah, I think you're better as a fisherman, bro. Yeah. I mean, just stick what you're good at, you know?
I can shoot some deer and hogs.
I'm sure.
Big target.
Yeah.
I'd still shoot them behind those shoulder. I don't try to shoot them in the head, you know?
Yeah.
I like hunting.
Yeah, well.
I do too. I enjoy hunting. It's different. It's a good change of pace after fishing all year, and you kind of look forward to it.
Yeah. I worked in Carrizo for about 14 years, and I skinned my share, so I just kind of sit there and enjoy watching them now.
You know, every time I get invited to go hunting, I much rather just watch them. I'm not, you know, normally when
I'm a great watcher till that big one pops out, and then, hey, it's trigger time, baby.
Man,
it's different.
Is Blaine and them hunting turkeys right now? Are they
no, he doesn't have a lot of turkeys in his area this year. You know,
interesting.
They got a few, but I wouldn't call it huntable numbers. I mean, you could probably go out there and go through the motions and work hard and call one in, but it's kind of like going duck or goose hunting where there's not any birds. It's not worth the effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a few times I've been down to Carrizo, you know, during deer season, the turkey's the first thing to show up in the morning in the backyard at the house. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Where I used to hunt, a buddy of mine's place, the guy that gives me this studio here, old Vaughn, they had a ranch in the family for, I don't know, 40, 50 years, a long time, and I've never seen so many turkeys in all my life. He's up there around Hondo and DeHaenas. And, boy, you'd be on a deer hunt, it looked like a marching band coming across some of those oat patches and everything they'd plant out there. I'm going, how many turkeys are on this place? You go outside at night and get something out of your truck and slam the truck door, and they'd all just go off in the trees where they were roosting. Said, man, listen to the turkeys out there.
Yeah. Man, come springtime, though, they'll disappear on you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's how it is. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
But, yeah, I mean, I always thought that was, like, some of the best hunting down there ever. You know, just seeing, like, you talk about all the turkeys in the morning, but... You know, he said it's not, he said Beeville is by far, you know, way better.
Yeah.
And, you know, shoot, on that drive again from Victoria, man, whoever's got a lease right around in there somewhere, you know, apparently it's going to be a good year, or it is a good year, one or two. Man, they were everywhere. I mean, every couple of miles, I see little four or five of them in the little trees and bushes.
Yeah. I ain't much on shooting at turkeys.
Javelinas, y'all do javelinas down there. When you get hunters down there, do they typically like to kill a little javelina?
They shoot everything.
Kill everything.
Yeah.
Monty said, one of Elliot's clients. Now, so Elliot owned the ranch Carrizo, and basically Monty worked down there as a hand and guide. And he would take a lot of their boat clients. One of their boat clients one time was Mattress Mac's brother, right?
Yeah.
And so he was pretty fancy. What does he do exactly?
He's in the crew boat business.
He's in the crew boat business.
Was. I don't know what he does now, but back then, I think he had like 14 or 15 hunters down there.
Really?
Yeah, they were basically there for dove hunting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they didn't end up killing anything else besides...
No, they might have shot a hog or two, but I think that they were mainly dove hunters.
Yeah.
Lots of dove down there. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That case you told me, too. He said that.
This year, the dove was... I went down there this year, and that was crazy. I think I even got some quail, quite a few quail this year also, I see.
Interesting.
It's during deer that last deer season, so...
Yeah.
I think it changes down there from year to year. Not on deer. There's always deer.
Yeah.
Big deer.
Big deer.
Yeah.
The birds is a different story.
Well, I'll tell you, the last couple of years have been some really good bird years. A lot of them.
Yeah. You know, he shoots a lot of ducks down there, too.
How many ponds do y'all have? You got four ponds?
I think I've dug two.
You dug two?
I think he's got like five tanks. One, two, three. Five tanks, I think.
Yeah. They do get some ducks. You got that one that's got some lily pads and stuff in it.
Well, you know, a neighbor of mine went down there and we dug a big tank, and we also took 2 inches or 2 foot back off into the thicket.
But okay. Left in some wooded area.
Yeah. For your ducks, you keep it kind of not as deep.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of ducks. Shot some geese down there before, too.
Shot some geese?
They just flew over and everybody wanted to shoot.
Probably speckle bellies.
Yeah. It's crazy. I've only duck hunted down there that one time. They shot some geese.
Interesting times. So, Casey, I believe, no, next weekend he's going to be in, he told me he's going to Austin, I think, next weekend.
I'm telling.
Yeah. The following weekend, I think he's going to come and give us a report on the turkey hunting and all that stuff down there. I think he's been down in Beeville for almost a solid week now. So, boy, you better come back with some stories. I know that much.
Yeah. I ain't seen him in about a month and a half.
Yeah, people, they get into that turkey hunting big time. It's in their blood. I know guys that'd rather turkey hunt and do anything.
Yeah. I want to say the ranch that he's on right now is pretty much exclusively what they do. I mean, it sounds
like there's a lot of ranches like that through the state. That's all they do is turkey hunt on them.
Yeah.
I wonder if they ever bring them in to shoot them or, you know, I know I've seen ranch or heard of ranches bringing quail in. I wonder if they do that with turkey.
I never heard of it. I know that.
You know, they do it with
quail stuff. Yeah. That's.
I mean, I'm sure you could do it with turkeys. I don't know.
Yeah. You got to beat the bushes with a boat paddle to get them to fly so you can shoot them.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the old skillet shot, take out the whole cubby.
Yeah. I've seen guys come in, you know, from all over the country to hunt Blaine's because, he's just Quail City down there, always has been. It's just a great bird area, you know, all that Jim Hogg County. But you'll get guys. Hank Parker's son was down there one year. They were shooting a TV show. And, man, the first day they couldn't get on them. They were missing them like crazy. And Hank, you could hear him on TV. He said it on video, said, man, these wild quail are a lot harder to shoot than them pin raised.
Yep.
A little different. And better eating, too. Man, those wild quail taste so much better than domestic.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have a particular plant or something that grows around it that they really like?
Just all the environment's right for them, you know, with all the bugs and grasshoppers and, you know, all the nutrients they need to thrive like they do.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
They do. Yeah.
Everything needs that water. No,
any little bit of rain around there is, man, things just thrive off of it.
Oh, yeah.
I think their average rainfall amount yearly is probably around 11 inches on average, but on years where they get much more or timely rains, that's Blaine's big deal. If they get it at the right time in the spring, boy, it makes all the difference in the world in horn development and bird development, all of it.
Yeah.
Sure.
They got out of that water. You know, Elliot, he's got like 5 or 6 tanks, but he also, I'm sure there's probably at least 12 to 14 solar wells.
Yeah.
And he'll run probably 2 or 3 foot, 100 foot of hose, and he'll take and blow those up a burn for them animals to have that water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That water.
Yeah, Blaine's got a lot, all that, you know, solar windmills with tanks and, you know, whole 9 yards. Animals have to have it.
Yeah. That's some harsh country down there, though.
It is. It's a rough country.
Pokey. Oh, Lee, I ain't never been stuck cut so much in my life.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to walk around no Crocs.
Yeah.
Them thorns at the bottom of them feet up, boy.
They had a gas in the tire one time down there, and then you had to take it to the tire guy. He put like 6 things of slime in it, and fills it up with foam. It's basically a rock by the time you're done.
Good Lord.
Yeah. But, I sent you those pictures of Monty's boat, man. He is getting down and dirty with it right now.
I saw that. Man, it doesn't even look like a Mako in the back there, the way he's changed everything up. You know, that big bulkhead across the back. I like it. It's going to be nice, man. Need to hurry and get that done, Monty.
Well, I'm trying. I was off, I think, on the 5th and 6th of April, and other than that, it seemed like I've been out there for a year every day, either in the plant or on the boat.
Man,
it's a lot of work.
He
was talking about somebody always told me whenever you're doing boats, they say it's 95% sanding, 5% fiberglass.
Yeah.
Right. That's work.
Put it on and then you tear it right back off again. It doesn't even hardly make sense sometimes.
A lot of itching.
What is your Mako? Is it a 26?
26-1.
Yeah. 261 Mako.
Yeah,
they're sweet boats. He's got twin 300s he's putting on the back of it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a daggum rocket ship. But
what are you gonna have on the back, like a big gill bracket plate or what?
It's a bracket. Yeah,
it's gonna be nice.
And that's
like adding another 3 foot to your boat as far as the ride and everything, the way it distributes. That's gonna be nice, buddy.
Looking at another 26-foot boat over in Lake City, and wanted like $92,000 for it. I said, Jesus Christ, I'm going to pay for it till I'm 108 years old.
Yeah, no joke.
Anyway, I found this old boat here, and I kind of bought it for like 10 grand, but I didn't know I was going to spend 110 putting it in it.
That's like buying an old muscle car in somebody's garage and restoring it. Deep pockets.
Yeah. I sold everything I could sell to put money into this one boat.
Yeah.
Sold both my flat bottoms, all my extra motors. I'm out of stuff to sell.
Man.
Of course, I had to go to the bank and borrow money for the new motor.
Oh, well. All right, guys. Well, I got to run. I'm out of time already. But if somebody wants to give you guys a call and get in on some blue water fishing this summer, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, give us a holler anytime at 979-417-1013. Monty's running Mondays and Tuesdays. We got a couple of boats that he's going to end up running. So give us a holler if you want to go with Monty.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see that Mako finish before I die, Monty. It's and I know you would too. put that money to good use.
Push the throttles down a long time.
There you go.
You'd be okay, huh?
Well, I'm hoping Carter runs around a lot. You know, that's my grandson. That's the only reason I bought it.
Yeah.
Have fun with him. All right, guys. Yeah. Well, y'all have a good Sunday. Good talking to you. Later.
Hey,
Big, thanks. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.